You're in tune with WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, glad to be having a conversation with Jay Sanders, the 8-string stick guitar, bass, and effects player for Enormous Trio. You've been hearing it on these airways on ARC Overnight, their new one, Love and Barbiturates. Welcome, Jay.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Well, it's great to have a new record from you. A lot of folks know you from Acoustic Syndicate and other projects. Tell us about your work in Enormous Trio and how that came about.
Well, you know, this one's actually the real labor of love. I've been working on this project off and on for about 4 years now. I met my really good friend Steve Alford, who joins me in the band playing clarinets, doing a performance of Rhapsody in Blue several years ago, and we just had an immediate musical kinship, and we've been working towards this, making this album and getting this band together and getting it out to the world for quite a while, and we're really excited about it.
You've got Michael Davis on the drums and the trio format with a very free sound. It's something that you've really got a lot of tight focus on. These songs aren't really all that long, but they've got a lot of ferocity to them for sure.
Well, that's the thing with playing avant-garde music is if you want to do it well, you've got to get to the point. You've got to have a focus on how you present it. Otherwise, it can very quickly sound like it's something that's, you know, completely out of control or just something that's crazy. And but when you can give something a what we call through compose, where there's a focal point to it, you know, beginning, a middle, and an end, and then in between it goes crazy and there's a lot of freedom and a lot of energy to the improvisations, then it's a little bit easier to handle. For example, like Ornette Coleman would record this stuff and he would record 20-minute crazy improvisations, and those kind of set the foundation, set the mark. But people like John Zorn came along later with things like Naked City and really refined it down to where you could really make an artistic expression with a lot of energy in a really short amount of time.
You've got all originals on this album. Did you ever consider making a cover, or how did it work out?
Well, we intended to write it all. We intended for it to all be original. We do mess around. We do a couple of Bill Frisell tunes, and we do a pretty good cover of Hank Williams' I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. And we've done Elvis Presley, I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. But those didn't really seem to be appropriate for this recording, so we wanted to keep it in the original vein. This album, it's meant to be listened to in its entirety from beginning to end, kind of a throwback to the old days of making records. We had a story we wanted to tell, and so we set out to write songs and organize it in such a way that it would create this presentation and create the idea of tension release over the course of the entire work, as opposed to just, you know, individual songs. So that led to, that kind of dictated that it be all original.
Have you been playing out much?
We do. We try to play. I mean, it really kind of boils down to about every 6 weeks or so, but we do. We did our CD release party here in Asheville at the Lab a couple of weeks ago, and we videotaped it so we could have, we're working on putting the concert video together so people can check out what it looks like to see. You know, I'm playing an 8-string NS stick, it's called. It's the bass parts and the guitar parts combined on the one instrument, and Steve plays alto, bass, and contrabass clarinets. They all look crazy. My instrument looks crazy. So, you know, we're trying to get the video together so people can kind of experience what we're all about. But we do try to play as often as we can. Michael Davis plays in a local band called The Broadcast. They play around, and he cut his teeth playing in the New York jazz scene, but they moved down here to Asheville to do the rock and roll thing. So whenever we can get him, we try to play.
Oh, he's an example of a neat thing in music where you'll find people that play in a band that is completely different than their, say, their main gig. Like you and Acoustic Syndicate, I guess it has more of a jazz bass than Michael Davis's Broadcast, which is more of the powerful, you know, rock and soul sort of bass than the relationship it has with Enormous Trio. But it's great to know that the two worlds meet in groups like this.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, for me personally, I created this album to be like the music that I like and the music that I like to play. I love Acoustic Syndicate. I love all of the projects that I've been involved in, but this is what happens when you turn me loose and I'm left to my own devices. I come up with things like the Enormous Trio. lots of experimentation. It's both beautiful and powerful and bold all at the same time, which is really the way that I like to listen to music. So it's really exciting.
So where do you find an 8-string? I don't see that at the music store.
Well, when I first started out playing music years and years ago, I was a guitar player. And when I went to music school, for the short period of time that I went to music school, I went to music school as a guitar player. And then in, I guess it was around 1995, 96, I met all the guys from Snake Oil Medicine Show. And, that band was coming together and they needed a bass player. So I switched over to playing bass, and have enjoyed it and had a great career with it. But I've never really lost the musical understanding that you get from playing more melodic instruments. I mean, bass by nature and by definition is a melodic instrument, but it plays a role, a much more well-defined role in music than a lot of the other melodic instruments do. So as time went on, I started looking around, looking for more, just looking for things that might combine all of my influences together. And one day I came across the NS stick while searching on the internet, and I ended up with the Chapman Stick website, and that's how I found it. The minute I saw it, it took me about 5 years to get the money together to get one. But the minute I saw it, I knew that was something I wanted to play.
Well, it's a sight.
It definitely functions as a bass. I played it for a little while with Acoustic Syndicate, where you could just play it as a bass, but it can also function as a guitar. It's a very, very versatile. I think that Chapman Company actually refers to it as a multimodal instrument, because you can pick it, you can use traditional Chapman tapping techniques, you can use fingerstyle guitar techniques, you can use traditional bass techniques. So it's very, very versatile in terms of how you can get the sounds out of it.
Well, the other instruments in the trio of Steve Alford playing a variety of clarinets, is there a certain reason that he stayed with clarinet versus, say, saxophone?
Well, he started out as a saxophone player, and he's an incredibly, very, very good one. In fact, he's the head of the jazz program at Marshall College and still teaches saxophone on a regular basis. But, there's this thing in artistic brains where when things become too easy, you kind of want to shift to something that brings the challenge back, because it forces your creativity, it forces your mind to expand beyond what is obvious. And that's why he took up the clarinet, because it was, the same concept as a saxophone, maybe, but considerably more difficult to play, and definitely something that's very unique. I don't even think I'd ever even personally heard of an alto clarinet until I met him, and I think it's just a fantastic sounding instrument. So that's kind of how he ended up there.
Well, you've recorded Love and Barbiturates with very little overdub. How did that work in the studio? Was it tough to get all these right on those takes?
It was. We did it in 2 days at Echo Mountain here in Asheville. We set realistic goals and we rehearsed a lot before we went in. So we had all of the arrangements organized and the performances together, and we were able to practice on our own to get it together. But still, some of the songs, it took 2 or 3 takes. We did do overdubs on, I did overdubs on 2 songs, and Steve did overdubs on 2 songs. And we did a very minimal amount of post-production editing. But for the most part, I'd say 80% of what you hear is exactly as it came out from the trio live and in the moment. It was intense, but that type of music is intense. So, pressure can often, you put something into a pressure cooker, you'll often end up with a better tasting meal.
What would you say to somebody who has their first sort of experience with free jazz and this sort of music? How do they start to interpret it and understand it?
Wow, that's a good question. For me, it's like a pure art form, and when done by the masters, it has all of the elements of music that you expect. It has time, it has space, it has rhythm, and of course it has melody and harmony, but it's more like a painting or like a work of art that you would see in a museum than it is like a piece of music that you would, put on at a party and rock out to. It's an interpretation of time and space, interpretation of emotion, that goes to so much deeper levels and is so much more adventurous than what you normally hear. So it takes a little bit of time. It takes an adventurous ear and an open mind to really embrace free music. But when you listen to the masters, we are heavily influenced by people like Ken Vandermark out of the Chicago music scene, Ornette Coleman out of New York, and the Art Ensemble of Chicago. And then personally, I'm heavily influenced by Bill Frisell and John Zorn, some of the early work they did in the 80s. And every single one of those examples is going to give you a different presentation of what free music is like. And so I would just say open your mind to it and think of it as an artistic experience more than a tune or a song, because it's meant to take you on an emotional experience and not just be a static thing that exists that you can just hit play over and over again and expect the same reality. You're going to get something different out of it every time you hear it.
Yeah, this is definitely not background music.
No. Well, there's a couple songs on there that could be, but they're towards the end. The story of Love and Barbiturates is a tale of the human experience. Steve and I had both gone through relationship breakups with our respective ladies at the time, and we channeled a lot of the energy into making this record. But we were going for, on a larger scale, the idea of loss and recovery, pain and then coming back from that, or traveling from darkness into light, and just those types of emotions were the big, super heady, super high level ideas that we were trying to represent. So as you listen to the record, it takes you on that journey. It goes through the healing process of suffering some sort of great tragedy and then working through it until you can get to the end of the record, where the second to last song is called Acquiescence, but it could also just as easily be called Acceptance, or any, that type of emotion. And then the final track is a tune, a very, very beautiful song that Steve wrote called Rain, which is like, to me, represents the releasing of abundance, so that you've achieved this resolution of this great conflict that you're going through, and then you have come to accept it, you've come to terms with it, and then all of a sudden the beauty of the universe comes right back again, and you start the cycle. It's like spring, and you start the cycle anew. This is something that we all as humans experience on some level throughout our lives, and we were trying to capture that emotion into our music.
Wow. Well, we're certainly glad to have the Enormous Trio's Love and Barbiturates in the library here at WNCW. Jay, it's been great to talk with you.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate you guys always. This is it's an amazing resource we have, and you guys are the best.
You can find out more at enormoustrio.com, spelled just like it sounds. For WNCW, I'm Joe Kendrick.